We are back on air once again. This is, of course, Sake Bama Go Go, show 43. My name's Mao, and this is, of course, the Radio St. Pete exclusive that brings you all kinds of crazy Japanese and Korean punk and garage and all kinds of good stuff. So, I don't know, if you listened before this show, I have a whole two-hour block every night here on Radio St. Pete. If you haven't, well, you should tune in an hour earlier and you'll hear me talking about other stuff and playing music on the indie circuit. And yay for all of that stuff. And tell your friends. We need more listeners. Radio St. Pete Corporate is listening. Anyway, had a great week. Went to see a new movie. Went to see Bad Times at the El Royale. So I'll probably talk about that a little bit. Saw an interesting biopic. Documentary, I guess documentary is more accurate, about James Brown. I'll talk about that first because weird. The documentary was interesting. It was made by Mick Jagger, and at a certain point, they were talking about this movie that he was one before Mick Jagger came on, and the legend says that Mick Jagger was like, wouldn't go on because he wasn't as good as James Brown. And then Mick Jagger was like, no, that's not even true, because these are filmed, every set is struck, and then hours later people would come in for a new shoot for a different band, which sounds more accurate to me. But then also part of me was like, did Mick Jagger spend $8 million to make a documentary just so he could go on record saying that he wasn't scared? That's also possible. Anyway, wasn't a very good, I mean, it was an okay documentary. I didn't know anything about it, so I was like, oh, I'll watch this, because I like learning stuff about musicians and bands and groups and stuff like that. You know, I have numerous shows about numerous, you know, music and B-movies and all that kind of stuff, so it never hurts to keep learning. And some of them are really good, you know, Muscle Shoals, and, you know, there's some out there that are really great to, and you learn so much about the time period and stuff like that. This one was weird. It starts out with, you know, talking about James Brown and how he was, you know, really poor, and he worked his way up, and he never took no for an answer. And then you're like, they even said he's like a tyrant. He's, you know, no, he came out and said it, but he was like a jerk, you know. And you're like, okay, well, great, that's what the world needs. Then this documentary, which is like 2 hours long, slowly and subtly just became a Black Power movement movie, and I'm like, wait, what? It just kind of shifted away from music and became all about the late 60s in America, when, you know, when that was the civil rights movement, you know, and I get it. I'm not weighing in that was bad. I mean, it was a bad time. It was very, as an American, it's a shameful time. You're ashamed of that time when there was segregation and women couldn't vote and Black people couldn't vote and cats couldn't vote. Oh, wait. Anyway, so, you know, like, that's important, but I'm not watching a documentary about the civil rights movement. I want to learn about this guy. So it transitioned into that, and then spent an hour on that, and it said, and then he died. And you're like, well, okay, thanks. I don't know. It was like Mr. Dynamite, the story of James Brown. And I did learn some stuff, because I went into this knowing very little to nothing about James Brown. I have one or two of his albums in my vinyl collection, and I listened to him once or twice, maybe. I was like, I remember of him more than I remember him. Actually, sadly, I remember more of Eddie Murphy doing a James Brown impression than I do of James Brown. So, I don't know, too hot in the hot tub. What can I tell you? It was okay. I was glad to learn some stuff, but then after about midway point, I was like, oh, man, I didn't come in for this, but here we are. You're in too deep at that point. You can't turn back. You're like, maybe it's going to pull out. Maybe it'll pull out a nosedive. No? Yeah. Well, great. Hey, I'll tell you what isn't a nosedive. This music. Here it is.
Hey, hey! It's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico!
How much shock can you take?
It will
haunt you forever. From the depth of evil comes the diabolic killer of beautiful women. The Vampire's Coffin. See a vampire's body stolen from its tomb. A psycho killer removes the stakes so the vampire can again prey on beautiful women. It's in the Vampire's Coffin. And to complete a double night of horror, a monstrous nightmare of terror turned loose in a fight to the death.
The robot versus the Aztec mummy.
They will bring you a night of terror. We dare you to see them, but don't come alone.
The Vampire's Coffin.
In an all-new double horrorama show with
The Robot versus the Aztec Mummy.
Presented in Hypnoscope. To heighten the horror, shock your senses, chill your brain. It could only be shown at midnight.
You fat-blooded idiot!
Got you there. Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva. What's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
Oh!
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
Oh, yeah. That was Ginny Oops with Time, Ho, Communication, and then in honor of, you know, of the Halloween season, no more candy. So, yes, no more candy indeed. So, as I alluded to in the beginning of the show, I actually went to the movie theater, which is a momentous occasion in my life. I'm not apt to do that very much. I'll usually go 3 weeks after something comes out, because that way it's kind of empty. I'll go in the morning as early as I can go, so it's not so full. I just don't like crowds. And I went to see Bad Times at the El Royale, and boy, I really loved that movie. I was a little worried. If you don't, in the 90s, there was the True Romance, and then the Reservoir Dogs, and Pulp Fiction, of course, Tarantino. And they were really popular, and pop culture was shaped by them, and movies were shaped by them. And then all of a sudden, every movie just got talky talk. It's just babbling for no reason. And because, you know, they made it kind of famous where, like, they'd be in a weird setting and they'd just be rambling on about a tip or something or a foot massage. And then they'd come back around and boom, and it would be super violent or something like that. And that was Tarantino's shtick. And it worked. You know, it was the first couple of times you see it, you're like, wow, that's really inventive and great. And look how, what a great script. It's like, these are words and these are just like relatable people, even though they're not. And then after that, a deluge of these copycats came out, and they were all horrible, and they were all hateful people talking, and you're like, I hate you, and I don't want you to talk anymore, just to be an action movie. And then that kind of went away because they stopped making money. And then this one reminded me of that on the trailer, and I was like, no, man, this might be bad. But it had a really good cast. It had Helmsworth, it had Jeff Bridges, you know, it's loaded, you know. So you go in, got my popcorn, and sat down, and it was a wonderful movie. You know, it kind of kept you on the edge of your seat in that things happened, but it wasn't action wasn't like nonstop like a Marvel movie or something like that. Like, so it took its time, and then it would talk, and then it would divulge information slowly and like a little bit here and there, and it was really fun. It was Tarantino-esque in how it was designed and how it was kind of bloody and it was kind of action packed, but it wasn't, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't over the top like Kill Bill or some of that stuff or Grindhouse where you're like, oh Jesus. I cannot wait for this to come out on Blu-ray. I'm gonna buy it immediately. And I'll probably watch it like 3 or 4 more times because there are things I'm like, I want to revisit this because there's things I know I've missed or there's little things because it's one of those that kind of hops around a little bit too. Another Tarantino thing. But not completely disjointed. Like, it'll show you a piece, then it goes back a minute and then it's like, okay, remember that. Let's go back here. And then it follows a different character. And it's a time piece. It's a period piece from the 70s. It was a really fun time. I really enjoyed it. I probably would actually see it again in the theaters if I could, but I'm not too frivolous like that. This is a lot of fun though. I highly recommend if you like action packed movies, or if you like any like Hateful Eight, it was reminiscent kind of a Hateful Eight where it took its time. Sometimes you could like look at something and it showed you something and then you saw it from a different perspective. So, What a fun movie. That was one of the best ones I've seen in quite some time. So if you were in the mood, go check it out. Bad Times at the El Royale. And I wasn't paid to say that. Although if a movie studio would like me to show for them, just I'll tell you where to send the checks. That adds a lot of credibility to my review, doesn't it? Well, I wasn't paid for that one, so go see it. Here's some music that you can hear and not see. If you can see the music, You've taken acid.
It's in your nature to destroy yourselves.
Yeah. Major drag, huh?
I'm not a- What is your secret? How do you find yourself in the right position all the time?
That's a good question. What happens is the center has the ball first, and a quarterback will say hike. That's when the center puts the ball into the hands of the quarterback. So what I'll do is I'll start tackling the quarterback, unless he gives the ball to somebody else, in which case I'll try to tackle that person.
Gentlemen, which brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack.
And we all know that was, of course, Asfort from their Complete Asfortery album. I played Bell Money God, Honest to Goodness, and Wait Slow. So, there you have it. Do those things first, I guess. I started off this new kick where I'm trying to collect the top 50 Wii games. Bear with me. I haven't lost my mind. Maybe I have, but I don't think I have. The Wii was a really smash hit. Tons of shovelware and crappy games, but there were a lot of really good games for that system. They just kind of came and went, and then nothing. Right now is when the market for Wii games is like bottom barrel, you know. So I'm trying to get through the top 50 and like and get the good games while they're at their cheapest, because I think the inverted bell curve is going to start going upwards when people that grew up playing the Wii are like, "I remember the Wii, that's great." And then all of a sudden demand's going to be there and everything's going to be crazy expensive. I could be totally wrong about that, but I have been scoring some pretty cheap games. Some not so cheap, and I'm like, oh my God, it's already too late. But I think there was a funny thing that came from that, but I'm going to play some music and then I'll delve into the missing game. I'm like, wait, where'd that go? Oh no. Here's some Lulu Finn, the Woohoo, off of their new... this is a digital download, but I can't wait to get their 45. So here's Lulu Finn the Woohoo.
It's a hell of a thing killing a man. You take away all he's got, and all he's ever gonna have.
your little dog, too.
Very nice. That was a brand new, that was the brand new 45 I played, Jellyfish and Bamboo Twist, which I think is the name of the 45. Do they name 45s? I don't know. I think they just have the, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'm not sure. It's awesome, though. Go check it out online. I know, I can't, oh my God, I should be more prepared. High Tide is the, that is the company, that, that record company, to search High Tide Record Company for Lulu Finn the Woohoo, and you'll be able to buy the digital download. They said, oh yeah, it's being released. And I said, yay. And I said, where's the 45? And they're like, that's spring. And I said, boo. But they got me. I bought the digital downloads knowing that I will, of course, pony up the cash for the 45. But that's okay. I'm supporting the bands that I love, and heck, what the heck, you should too.
You see, there's this girl, Vicky Valancourt. She may be the devil. Mama said that. Consequently, I'm prohibited from contact with her. But I hope to get past that one day, because she's nice to talk to.
I can hear him
Go! mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there someone else up there we can talk to?
No, now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
Ah, yes, the world famous, the one and only, the greatest band that's ever lived. Of course, I've played for you the 5678s off of their Teenage Mojo Workout album. I played Green Onions in the Subway and Teenage Mojo Workout. Make sure you go to Time Bomb Records out of Japan. They have an English site. It's very easy to use. The shipping ain't so bad. You're going to find some awesome stuff, and all your friends are going to be like, what? And you're going to be like, ha-ha, yeah, I'm the hookup. I know where to get this stuff. And they're going to be all jealous. And you're going to be like, yeah, Time Bomb. So anyway, I was out there searching for the games for the Wii, and I have like a Google sheet on my phone, so it has all the ones that I already have and all the other games. I have millions of games because I'm dumb. And so then I look up when I was like, oh, that's right, Okami. It was this gorgeous game for the Wii. This game was like nothing I've ever seen before. It was like the most beautiful game I've ever seen. It was calligraphy based. And as you brought things to life, it came to color, you know, it became like this bright, like the cherry blossoms and stuff. It was the stylized beauty was incredible. And I was like, well, I had that one. I don't have to bother looking for that one. That's, of course, on the top 50 list. And I'm looking, I'm looking, nowhere to be found. I look in the games drawer, look in the shelves, I look in the bins, and looking everywhere. And I'm like, this game's gone. Now, I haven't thought nor played this game for maybe eight or nine years, however long it is. You know, time is fleeting. But now all of a sudden that I know it's missing, now I'm freaking out about it. Last two or three days, I'm like, where could it be? Maybe I should just buy another one. What, you know? And you're like, look, man, you know, I have a lot of places to look. And also, whatever. I also have 15 games I've just purchased that I haven't put any time in on. And I have other ones coming. You're like, you know, you just, it's a funny thing. Collecting is a bad thing, I think. It's kind of fun at some level. Like, I don't mind doing this because I'm not throwing away thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, we're talking about a couple bucks per game. Like, usually I'm, especially Wii games, I'm finding them for $3-4 sometimes. Or, you know, some of the more expensive ones, yes, that's like 12, 18, 20 bucks. There's a couple on there that are like 60, 70. I was like, I might not get that one, but that's okay, you know. But now it's like, it's so weird that now I know that's gone. It's really bothering me. I'm like, where could it have gone? Who could I have given it to? And I'm just thinking in my head, you know, did somebody break in and steal that one game? Well, of course not. That's just stupid. So we'll see. The search for Okami continues. I would tell everyone, if you haven't played that game, go out and get it. But I don't want to do that because then that's going to make it more scarce and I won't be able to buy it if I need to get one. I'm kidding. You've all played it. All right, here's some more music.
Mark. Yeah. Ing. Yeah. Bird. Yeah. Mockingbird. Don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, she's gonna buy me a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring don't shine.
Ever been held absolutely helpless with horror? At what point do you break and let it all out? Ah! Now, for the first time, enter a chamber of torture. The most blood-curdling double feature ever brought to the screen. Night of the Blood Monster and Blood from the Mummy's Tomb. Night of the Blood Monster, starring Christopher Lee, Maria Schell, and Leo Genn. Evil vibrations flash from the full moon. Blood from the Mummy's Tomb. A severed hand rises from an Egyptian grave to seek revenge. Night of the Blood Monster. Blood from the Mummy's Tomb. Two terrifying tales of torture. Together on the same bill, both in color rated PG, parental guidance suggested. See Night of the Blood Monster and Blood from the Mummy's Tomb. It's twice the terror.
The worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Genetic disorders, much like baldness or necrophilia. And it's only your fault if you don't hate yourself enough to do something about it. And that's where we come in.